So a moment ago, we were talking about Al-Qaeda in the Arabia Peninsula and that Yemen-based package plot that was discovered over the weekend. This morning, we're talking about Al-Qaeda in Baghdad. Jim Muir joins us from our partner, the BBC, from Baghdad, where a group linked to Al-Qaeda apparently started out by attacking the stock exchange in Baghdad, fled to a nearby Christian church, the congregation taken hostage, a bloodbath ensued. Jim, give us a sense of just what the scene was like. It sounds just grim beyond description.
It is hard to imagine how a quiet Sunday evening mass could be turned into really a nightmare of carnage and destruction and death. The gunmen burst into the church after doing some shooting and setting off a car bomb in the street outside. From what we gather now, they did not actually attack the stock exchange. It was just across the road, and I think initial reports thought it was the target, but apparently it wasn't. They went into the church, they rounded up the Christians, kind of collected them in an internal hall. Apparently at that stage they even shot the priest who was conducting or reading from the Bible. Then of course there was this lengthy standoff, and then the security forces who'd been gathering around the building and sealing off the area stormed in. Some of the gunmen apparently set off suicide vests, killing a lot of the Christians. And the figures we're getting now from the Deputy Interior Minister are that altogether 52 people were killed among what he called the martyrs. In other words, they were from the Christian hostages and presumably also from the security forces. No breakdown of that figure. But the attackers, who were seven in number, apparently just one was arrested and the other six presumably killed. So the actual number of deaths in the whole affair seems to have been getting up for around 60. That's a figure that will vary according to sources, but it seems to be pretty much in the ballpark.
Jim Muir of the BBC, live on the line from Baghdad. In your dispatch on the BBC website, you describe, and you're someone who's witnessed just about everything in Baghdad and Iraq in recent years, that nothing like this has ever happened before in terms of a Christian church being targeted. Put that into some context for us and possibly try to help us understand why this would be a target. The Christian community is tiny in Iraq.
That's right. Well, context-wise, I mean, basically since 2003, there have been a lot of attacks on churches, but not like this. It's been bombings, people setting off bombs near or beside or even inside churches, causing damage. Christians individually have also been targeted, especially, for example, in the Mosul area. There have been some targeted killings of Christians. A number of priests have actually been abducted and killed or ransomed as well during this whole period. So there's been a lot of pressure on Christians. In addition to that, of course, they feel generally threatened by the rise of fundamentalism in both camps of the Muslim section. In other words, both the Sunnis and the Shia have seen a kind of rising of fundamentalism, especially a couple of years ago when the sectarian strife was at its height. So they felt very much threatened by that. There's been an exodus. Around about a million Christians were probably here in 2003. That figure's reckoned to come down to something like 500,000, in other words, half of them have left. Wow. And, of course, the hemorrhage goes on, and this kind of action is obviously going to speed it up.
Now, I'm you know, possibly at my own journalistic peril trying to decipher some of the tea leaves here, but I noticed that some of the dispatches out of newspaper accounts of this carnage here were sourced to an interior minister official who would not give his name, unidentified, which seems to me relatively unusual in the sense that they love to take, a high profile in events like this. I'm wondering if there's some suspicion this morning that the Interior Ministry, in its attempt to quell the violence, actually inflamed the situation and maybe botched it.
Well, I mean, when you have 52 people killed in a supposed rescue operation, it can hardly be termed successful, although
right.
That is actually the term pinned on it by the defense minister who oversaw the thing. What we might be seeing here is a bit of sniping, interdepartmental sniping, because you have interior ministry forces which control the police, and you've got the defense ministry which controls the military. Also in the background, of course, you had American advisors who may have actually been slightly more in the foreground than background. We're not sure if they were on the ground, but they were certainly in the air and providing technical and other advice and assistance. So it may have been a kind of joint operation, and now that it's clear that there were a lot of casualties, it could be that there's a bit of quiet, oblique sniping going on between the various arms of the armed forces.
Which brings us to sort of the place where we began, Al-Qaeda. Is there a way of comparing the viability and strength of Al-Qaeda in Iraq as compared with the apparently marginally viable and still not yet impaneled Iraqi government? It seems to me Al-Qaeda is looking healthier than the Iraqi government at this point.
Well, the Iraqi government is kind of trying to get itself together at the moment. There's been no new Iraqi government formed since the elections back in the beginning of March, so it's nearly 8 months now that the country's been going around in political circles on that. As for Al-Qaeda, I wouldn't say it's in that great shape. The actual levels of violence in general have gone down to something like 10% of what they were at the height of the insurgency. Various tactics they've used, like huge bomb attacks and so on, have tapered off to, you know, one every month and a half, 2 months, rather than practically every day as they were, because supplies of explosives and so on have been tied off. The borders are much more sealed than they used to be with both Iran and Syria. So the general impression is they're having to resort to extraordinary tactics to achieve anything at all. However, of course, you know, the Americans are pulling out. There's 50,000 troops here at the moment. They'll all supposedly be gone the end of next year. It could, and obviously this kind of operation shows the insurgents are still out there. They are still able to do things. And should the Iraqi government fail to get off the ground, obviously the Iraqi security forces are not going to stick together because they reflect a society that is very fragmented in itself. So it could be that there would be scope then for the insurgency to resurge in a very major way. But that is still in the realms of speculation.
Indeed. Jim Muir of the BBC live from Baghdad talking about this Sunday night massacre at a Christian church where hostages were killed, 52 at least dead, five militants dead as well. As the BBC's Jim Muir.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.